Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Shot to the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Realize that when he says yes, families can be deported together. Yeah. What he is saying is that U.S. citizens can be deported. What he is saying is if the parent is undocumented and they have U.S. citizen children or U.S. citizen spouse or and you don't want to separate them, then let's deport the U.S. citizens. When you talk about mass deportations, people think, oh, it's just going to be the criminals. There's not enough criminals, aliens in the federal prison system for it to be mass deportations. What it means is grandmothers. What it means is brothers and aunts. Yep. What it means is abuelos y abuelas. It means dreamers. It means your family members. It means your colleagues.
Wait, abuelos and abuelas? No. Really? Anna Navarro on The View. How will we go on? Okay, so this is over the proposed mass deportations that Trump is saying he's going to do and the selection of Tom Homan to be the person who will oversee all of this, obviously. And so then, you know, well, what does Tom Homan have to say? Are they going to be deporting citizens as Anna is inferring from everything else she knows? Hannity asked him the question.
Are you planning on deporting American citizens?
No, exactly not. Look, The View, it's like the Island of the Misfit Toys.
That has got to be my favorite description of The View I have ever heard. Maybe Misfit talk show host would have been slightly more on point. But do you hear his first answer isn't audible. It's the laughing, right? The laughter, okay? Listen to this again.
Planning on deporting American citizens?
No, exactly not. Look, The View, it's like the Island of the Misfit Toys. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. President Trump has made it clear. We will prioritize public safety threats and national security threats first. And that's what the focus will be. And there's over 1.5 convicted criminal aliens in this country with final orders of removal that we're going to be looking for. There's thousands of gang members, illegal alien gang members we're going to be looking for.
Pretty sure he meant 1.5 million, just forgot the word. All right.
Now, I'm going to say, if you're in the country illegally, you shouldn't feel comfortable. Absolutely not. I won't feel comfortable if I'm in a country illegally. If I'm in some other country illegally, I'm not going to be comfortable. You shouldn't be comfortable either, because when you enter this country illegally, you have committed a crime. You are a criminal, and you're not off the table.
So clearly, he's saying that deporting citizens is not on the agenda. The one place that I would say is more of an it's a question. Okay, the question is, what do you do? The hardest case. Okay, the hardest case to deal with is parents who came here illegally, or, you know, just people who came here illegally and had a child while they were here. So the child is a U.S. citizen, okay? Not a dreamer, not somebody who's illegally here, but somebody who is, you know, was born here, but of illegally here parents. And what do you do with those people? And that's a genuine challenge, because do you separate them? Do you send them all home? Do you say, no, you get an exemption because the kid is a citizen? I think that's a really hard case, okay, in the sense of if you're going to try to deport all the illegal immigrants. But that's at the super periphery of these questions, right? That is not the center of what ICE is going to be trying to do. And he had pretty clear comments about this nonsense that there's no criminals here.
Look, ICE is very good at what they do. We have a targeting system. I can't really talk about it on the air because it's law enforcement sensitive, but we're going to find them. And look, we're going to go get them. I saw today numerous governors from sanctuary states saying they're going to step in the way. They better get the hell out of the way. Either you help us or get the hell out of the way, because ICE is going to do their job. We're going to take the handcuffs off ICE that the Biden administration put on them and let ICE what they do best. And let me say this. Back to The View or Joe Biden. They promised, this administration promised, they're going to concentrate on the criminal aliens. That was a priority. Secretary Mayorkas said it. I looked at the stats today. The removal of criminal aliens is down 74% from President Trump. We have more criminals here than we ever had. So we got plenty of targets out there, and the men and women of this new administration are going to go look for them. They're going to look for them in sanctuary cities. If sanctuary cities don't want to help, get out of the way. I'll double the workforce in that sanctuary city. We're going to do our job. Despite the politics, we're doing it. So get used to it, because we're coming.
But he just sounds so mean. Well, you can either have the guy who, like Alejandro Mayorkas, you know, or you can have the guy who knows what his boss's policy is, and he's going to do it. And there's going to be a lot of people, and this kind of came up in the interview, is, yeah, look, if people want to voluntarily deport themselves, great. Like, if they're scared of what we got coming, good. I mean, this is not your subtle, nuanced mediator of disputes, Tom Homan. This is, I'm going to get this done. I've been told I'm going to get this done. The people expect this to get this done. By the way, for those of you who might think that this is somehow, like, exceeding the mandate or the authority, you know, one of the most interesting, most obvious, but one of the most interesting theories about President Trump's big victory, the Catholic vote is a very serious contender in this category, by the way. But there's another one. And I mean, you know, young black men, you have rural votes, you have, you know, white women, you know, there's lots of theories. But one theory is that Kamala Harris specifically excluded and ignored Catholics and offended them multiple times. The administration many times has done this, which you think is weird because Biden's a Catholic. Yeah, but you understand there's divisions within the Catholic congregations about, you know, what the views are supposed to be. Anyway, another theory, it's a very interesting theory, is that, and this is coming a lot from Democrats, is, and some Republicans, sure, too, is Republicans made massive hay on the issue of immigration, and Democrats pretended like it wasn't an issue. And the American people disagreed. And Democrats made a massive issue out of abortion. And Republicans kind of pretended like it wasn't an issue. And the American people seemed to have agreed with the Republicans. There was no big abortion wave, right? That did not help. I mean, if that was your issue, Kamala Harris should have won by a landslide. She did not. So the two most high-profile issues, aside from the economy, which is always an issue, the abortion issue didn't seem to do much in favor of the Democrats, but the immigration issue seemed to have done a lot in favor of President Trump. And so, putting Tom Homan in charge of implementing the policy that President Trump has been talking about now for, golly, 9 years, since 2015, seems like just doing what he was hired to do. Now, you can disagree with it. You can say it's inhuman, it's wrong, it's immoral, it's bad economic policy. You would say whatever you want to say. But remember what was the most defining element of Trump's first administration. This is not something that people say an awful lot, but I think it's fair. The most defining element of Trump's first administration was that he fulfilled the promises he made on the campaign trail. If he said he was going to do it, he proceeded to do it. And it was weird to all of us who watch politics, like, oh my God, this has never happened before. Whether you like or dislike the promises, he fulfilled them. And it seems to me like, once again, what you're seeing is a fulfillment of those promises. Now, that's true whether it's Tom Homan at ICE. That's true whether it's Mike Huckabee for being the ambassador to Israel. You might say, well, he's not Jewish. You clearly do not understand anything about America's relationship with Israel. The evangelical Christian support for Israel in the United States is far stronger than even the support among Jews in the United States for Israel. Israeli policy is very divisive among American Jews because liberal Jews, conservative Jews, but among American evangelicals, I mean, American evangelicals are more pro-Israel than any other population group in the world other than maybe Jews who live in Israel, right? Like, it's that way. So for him to represent that, they know this, by the way. I mean, the Israelis are not silly about this. I remember when I worked in Phoenix at a conservative evangelical Christian station. I was the afternoon show host, and we had a religious show. And they, you know, the Ministry of Tourism for Israel came and took a bunch of us on a tour. And they do this a lot, okay? A bunch of us who were in Christian media and took us on a tour. And, like, they couldn't tell us often enough, tell your people to come, tell your people to visit. We love your folks. They're fantastically supportive. They're always coming over here. They're, you know, anyway. So this is actually a really good pick. Mike Huckabee for this position is a really good pick. A couple of other ones that came out yesterday that were Pete Hegseth. Okay, this is the first one where I got to go, what in the world? You know, I mean, he was in the military. Okay, no doubt. I mean, he's not a fool, but he's super young. He doesn't have the kind of administrative experience that you would want from somebody to head the Pentagon. And his most recent big accomplishment is that he's a talk show host at Fox. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't know enough, but would you put me in charge of the Pentagon? You'd be an idiot. You know, I'm good at talking. I'm not good at running a massive federal bureaucracy that carries hundreds of billions of dollars every year in spending. Like, it's a weird pick. I agree with the critics. This is a weird one. Now, I might turn out to be wrong, but I don't know. That one sits super odd with me to begin with, just because of youth and inexperience. Time will tell, obviously. Speaker Johnson says he's a good pick. Okay, we'll see. You know, John Ratcliffe for CIA, again, or a former Department of Director of National Intelligence, DNI. That makes sense to me. That's a fairly straightforward one. I love the Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. I was worried that what they were going to do is bring Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy in to do, like, standard things. Like, I kind of half-joking, half-seriously thought maybe Vivek Ramaswamy would be press secretary. And clearly that's not the direction they're going. But I was like, what will they bring Elon Musk in to do, even? Be, like, the head of NASA? You know, like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. You know, I don't know. I really couldn't figure out what is. Well, they're going to create a whole new position. They've created, or they're going to create, an entirely new kind of department for them. And this actually makes the most sense in the world because, you know, there's nothing that he really fits right now, but it's going to be the director of government, efficiency. The most Orwellian name for a government project ever. Government efficiency. Great, you know, contradiction in terms, right? And yet, bringing somebody in to solve all of this stuff, to improve bureaucracy and the way things work and to cut the fat and to trim down and to make more efficient, I mean, these two guys are a perfect fit for that. As long as they can really do it, which I would expect, I mean, it's dismantling the bureaucratic state. It's going to be incredibly hard. And so if anybody else were implementing the Department of Governmental Efficiency, the DOGE, you crypto people, if anybody else were implementing it or overseeing it, like if it weren't President Trump implementing, or if it weren't, you know, Elon in particular, not so much Vivek, but both of them, fine. I would say it's Orwell. It's just, you know, the name. But with those elements, him putting them in for it, creating the department, and also them being the ones, I actually think it's for real. And I have great optimism about this one. So, those were kind of the big announcements yesterday as far as personnel and direction. And like I said, the comments by Tom Homan I thought were particularly interesting. Christy Noem to head Homeland Security is a big announcement. Also, looks like Colorado might lose Space Command because Trump always wanted it to be in Alabama. And now the expectation is he's going to move. This has not been announced or anything, but this is like what sort of people are thinking might be the case, is that he might move it. There was a whole bunch of procedural questions about whether this could be done. But anyway, that's, you know, one possibility anyway. On the railroads, I went out and looked. I eyeballed them last night. And since last night, things have changed. But here's where I think we're at on the CSX crossings. Airport is done and open. Okay, great news. Burgess, as of 5 a.m., is not done, but it's still open. It's never been closed. For 2 hours. But it's not been fixed, okay? I put my eyes on Oakfield. Oakfield is fixed and open. I didn't put my eyes on Hancock this morning. I didn't have time. But last night, it was fixed but not open, and people had moved signs and were driving through, which is understandable. Olive was completely not ready last night. Olive was, I mean, not possible, not passable, no. But Johnson was fixed, but with signs up that people had been kind of moved and were driving around a little bit. This was kind of a theme. Ensley, totally not open, at least as of last night, and I don't imagine they'd be open yet this morning, and Nine Mile had not yet been closed. So as far as I know, and based on what CSX had told us yesterday, the only ones that are not open right now would be Olive and Ensley. That's what I think I know. Because if they opened Oakfield, they would have opened Hancock. And if they opened Hancock, they probably will have opened Johnson. But tell me if you put your eyes on it. If somebody drives through Johnson or Hancock or Ensley or Olive, and you can tell me it's actually open or not. I would love to know that this morning. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second. If your identity's stolen, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from one year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted me in a whole bunch of texts about how Trump did not fulfill his promises. He didn't build the wall. He didn't? I mean, he didn't finish it, but come on. Like, he built a lot of wall, built so much that the Biden administration started dismantling it. He didn't make Mexico pay for it. No fair. I mean, he argues, or he would say, that he got the Mexican government to put troops over on the border and create some funding. He didn't make them pay for it. No, that's true. He didn't lock up Hillary. Okay. Fair. Yeah. No, he didn't do that. But as far as what he did with Israel, what he did with NATO, what he did with China and trade policy, what he did with taxes, I mean, particularly on Israel, like you have to look at what he did and say he did what he promised or tried to do what he promised. You can't all just do it. You can't necessarily do it all, right? 527 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden is hosting President-elect Trump at the White House today. They'll be meeting at 10 o'clock our time in the Oval Office. This comes, of course, as you've been mentioning. Trump is continuing working to fill key posts in his upcoming administration.
And we're waiting. It's today we're going to get the vote on Senate Majority Leader, right? Which is not the administration, but Rick Scott is the front runner. So
I believe so,
that would be amazing. Sorry, go ahead.
The former Massachusetts Air National Guardsman that admitted to leaking classified military documents has been sentenced to 15 years in prison. Jack Teixeira appeared in Boston court on Tuesday. A judge gave him that sentence for violating the Espionage Act. And a tropical wave in the Caribbean could strengthen into a hurricane as soon as next week. The National Hurricane Center now giving a 90% chance of development to that tropical system currently in the Caribbean. And if it does become a hurricane, it would be Hurricane Sarah and on a bit of an uncertain path.
All right. Yeah, I looked at the models for this thing and, it's the drunkest of them all. You remember the spirograph? Remember you had as a kid the most frustrating toy ever made in the universe?
Right, yeah.
Where it, every time you'd get it almost where you got the curve, and then the tension of you pressing the two things against each other would give, and the thing would pop up, and your pen would go all over the place. That's what it looks like. It looks like somebody got out the spirograph 20 times. It's just it's crazy. So if it does come anywhere near us, which the models don't have, but nobody knows yet. Okay, it'd be like 7 days. We're a week out. So. Relax for now. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we had two Navy destroyers
that got attacked by a barrage of Houthi drones and missiles off of Yemen. No successful attacks. The Houthis are claiming that they attacked the USS Abraham Lincoln, the carrier. They did not. And they did not succeed at striking these destroyers, which is great, of course, but little concerning, you know, that they would be ramping this up. Then we struck. This was on Sunday night. We learned about it Tuesday, I think. And then on Monday, they, you know, the Air Force and the Navy struck back at Houthi targets. So, you know, this is by no means a done and over and cold situation. It's definitely something that is continuing and very, very concerning. So, you know, you pray for our military, be praying for our troops that are in these ships and in the Middle East, and they're vulnerable. I mean, they're not vulnerable in some sense, but they're, you know, they're at ships at sea, and, you know, bad things can happen. And, you know, our Navy is not what Kamala Harris described as, well, nobody's in any kind of a foreign situation right now. The military is not even deployed anywhere, right? No foreign conflicts at all. Okay, yeah, you didn't know what you're talking about then.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A busy morning for President-elect Trump. He returns to the White House for a meeting with President Biden.
Biden is expected to lobby Trump on a number of domestic and foreign policies, including his commitment to Ukraine and a ceasefire in Gaza. But the Biden administration says his top message will be ensuring his commitment to a peaceful transfer of power here at home.
That's Fox's Brooke Singman. President-elect Trump nominates decorated Army combat veteran Pete Hegseth to be the Secretary of Defense. The Fox News TV personality served tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. The upper chamber on the verge of a new leader.
Republican senators will vote in private. Florida Senator Rick Scott has led a public campaign for the position, and many in the president-elect's inner circle support him. Senators John Thune and John Cornyn have been pitching fellow Republicans in private.
Fox's Rich Setson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, cloudy skies. We've got 72 degrees in Pensacola. Now, starting here in just a few weeks, there will be hundreds of additional free downtown parking spaces in Pensacola. Yesterday morning, Mayor D.C. Reeves announced several changes to the city's downtown parking plan, including making 230 spots at the Commandencia parking lot free, and also launching a trolley service that'll run between that lot and other free parking lots further up on Wright Street.
Starting Black Friday, you can park in any one of those, and you can wait for a couple of minutes, and you can get dropped off on Palafox Street anywhere you want to go. So that will be funded completely by city parking funds, and that will go, again, the first day will go into effect on Friday, November 29th.
That is Mayor Reeves there, and he also announced that 30 parking spots near the Jefferson Street parking garage are being converted to free 30-minute spaces. He said the city's looking into other places downtown that would also benefit from having some of those free 30-minute spaces available. The changes will take effect, and the trolley will begin its service again on Black Friday. The city has also announced a new parking website that'll have more information on parking spaces downtown, including an interactive map, and that can be found at parkpensacola.com. Well, reaction is starting to pour in from Florida leaders now that it appears Donald Trump has picked Marco Rubio to be his Secretary of State. Congressman Carlos Jimenez tells NBC6 he's thrilled about the potential appointment of another Cuban-American.
We are so proud of Marco and everything he's accomplished in his life. And now he'll be the highest ranking Cuban American ever in U.S. history.
A senior Biden administration official also called Rubio a serious and qualified choice for the president's chief foreign affairs advisor. Well, Florida's breaking more tourism records in the third quarter of the year. Governor DeSantis says 34.6 million visitors traveled to the Sunshine State, a 1.8% increase over last year, the highest number for any third quarter ever. Of the 34 million visitors, 2.3 million came from overseas, 582,000 came from Canada. Now, car theft is up in the Myrtle Grove community, and neighbors say the crime started around Halloween. The National Insurance Crime Bureau reports that Florida has one of the highest rates of vehicle thefts, with more than 46,000 stolen in 2023. Escambia deputies confirm there's almost a dozen active car theft cases in West Pensacola that are being worked at the moment. And the East Hill Neighborhood Association, producer of the 2024 Bands on the Bayou concert series, raised $45,000. That money will be distributed among six local nonprofit organizations that impact the area: Bike Pensacola, the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences, Pensacola Children's Chorus, Rally Foundation, Survivor-Led Solutions, and Upward Intuition. The nonprofit nomination form for the 2025 concert series grant recipients is now open. You can apply at Bands on the Bayou at their website. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And right now, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a cloudy day today with a 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, 76 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Rain chances for your Thursday morning, 30% chance of rain, high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For your Friday, sunshine with a high near 72 and a low near 53. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And one quick correction, that Bands on the Bayou website was bandsonthebayou.com/charities to apply for that. It's 72 degrees here in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will be looking toward October's CPI numbers, scheduled for release Wednesday morning, to see how much the cost of goods and services has increased. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones are expecting the CPI to increase 0.2% for the month, which would put the 12-month rate at 2.6%. Waymo has opened its robo-taxi service to anyone who wants a ride around Los Angeles. The expansion comes 8 months after Waymo began offering rides in Los Angeles to a limited group of passengers chosen from a waiting list that had ballooned to more than 300,000 people. Dogecoin spiked after President-elect Donald Trump formally announced the creation of the Department of Government Efficiency. The meme coin has been one of the biggest winners in the post-election rally, gaining more than 150% since Election Day. Futures are slightly lower ahead of inflation data. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials fell 382, the NASDAQ down 17, and the S&P 500 also down 17. That's Your Money Now.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent.
Hi, I'm Chad Piku with Affiliated Insurance. I want to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not mine. Make enrollment hassle-free this year. Call 850-477-5840 and schedule an appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
Kick off the holidays with WSRE's Festival of Trees and take home the tree of your dreams. Trees and wreaths, decorated by local designers, will be on display November 15th through the 17th in the WSRE Amos Studio at Pensacola State College. Each will be up for auction and for sale in support of WSRE PBS and the programs you love. Catch the spirit of the season at WSRE's Festival of Trees. There'll be free photos with Santa and holiday music too. Admission is free.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 5:36. 5:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, as we always do, we had a good opportunity to talk with Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm well. Did you have cause to eat any food yesterday or so far today?
I go through food pretty quickly. So
you're fit, muscular, you work out.
Yeah, I ate dinner that night.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you? Oh, wow. You're a better man, more man than I am, I guess.
That's what I've been telling you.
Touche. All right, thanks for that. So you did get to judge the Egg Fest and the finals and had a good
one
feed.
Of those
and
it judges, was good. Yes.
And the watermelon with the pork belly was the winner in the end?
Yeah, yeah,
so
I believe.
Good.
Oh, man, that was.
I must have eaten five of those. It was so good.
Well, that's why I ate dinner. Yeah. I didn't eat five of them. I paced myself.
Oh, fine. That's again, a better
first,
man than
that's
I.
That's not my first food competition.
But that's you do that every year. I do that every year. It's a great charitable organization. Yeah. You know, raise money for all kinds of different causes, and it's just a wonderful feed.
So yeah, that's the way to put it. All kinds of different good causes.
Lots of different things. Let's go to probably the highest profile incident of the last week, which was the shooting at Amberway, where your officers show up and get shot at by an AR-15. Is that right?
On the 9th, we got a couple calls, actually, from the neighborhood saying there was a guy out there with guns and he's firing. In fact, our dispatcher hears the
shots. Oh, so he was outside?
He was outside, right.
Okay.
Our dispatchers can hear the gunshots going off whenever callers were calling.
Oh.
So when our deputies get there, they also can hear the fire gunshots, and then they see that there's a man laying down prone facing them. He refuses their orders to drop the weapons and to surrender.
So he shot at them?
Whenever they're pulling up, they're hearing gunshots going off.
So we don't know if he was targeting them exactly, but
if I pull up and I hear gunshots,
just,
I see.
I just asked, like, if a guy's on the ground with an AR-15 prone and aiming, how does he miss? All I wonder. You know, so it just.
Well, he had an AR-15 and a handgun, so I don't know which gun he was actually shooting with.
Wow, that's scary, too, because if you're hearing the gunshot and it's that round, I mean, you're not safe in your house. I mean, that bullet can go right through easily come through and, you know, everybody's in danger, right?
So obviously, it's a tense situation. That's why the neighborhood, several calls were made to our dispatchers. Again, our deputies, to their credit, run towards danger. They go towards the individual and end up shooting at him. He's still alive, as I understand it.
Was he wounded?
Yes, he was wounded.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
He was taken to hospital for his injuries, and Florida Department of Law Enforcement, we've called them in to have an unbiased investigation, look at this thing. Our deputies are on paid administrative leave. They'll probably report back to work in a couple of days.
Okay, which is normal. People, yeah. I saw online people were, why were they on administrative? Standard. That's the practice, right?
Yeah, I mean,
both for their benefit and for the investigation.
We have some mandatory things. There's drug tests and all that stuff that we have to go through, and then we want to just have a discussion with them, make sure that they're good with coming back to work. It's as simple as that.
I know FDLE is doing their investigation. Can you say, did they return fire with their pistols, or did they get their rifles out? Do you know? Can you say?
I can't say that.
Okay.
I can't say that.
Okay, fair enough. Because, I mean, you know, he's got a rifle. If they've got pistols, that's extra impressive on top of the rest of it. So, you know, well done. You also had some, construction site burglars who took a little cat nap after the cat burglary. Is that what happened?
Yeah. we had a couple of geniuses decide that they're going to break into and steal some stuff from a construction site. There were some pictures on our Facebook page. Looks like they took some, drywall mix. They took a bunch of batteries, like portable drill type batteries, which are very expensive.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And then they were in a red BMW. And then they leave the construction site and decide to find a parking lot, and go to sleep. We get
construction site burglary is exhausting work, sir.
It's hard stuff. It takes you gotta get up
and
early
you
got
to stay rested to do your job safely. You know.
Well, so we end up arresting Charles Wilkerson and Isaac Jenkins, charged them with burglary, obviously, and. You can see some pictures on our social media platform. We got some drugs there. We got some, no doubt, right?
No.
We got some drugs there.
In a BMW?
In their car. Yeah.
they're stealing some supplies and dealing drugs. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. So anyways, we woke them up and told them that they're under arrest and seized the property, obviously, and give it back to the rifle owner.
Any
the
firearms site. In that arrest?
No, I don't believe there were any
thank
firearms
goodness.
That were located. Yeah, thank goodness.
So you showed me a picture of the stuff just the weird stuff you find when you arrest people for drugs and, like, I guess they violated the camping ordinance too. Yeah. Well, no, the cars weren't included in that in the end. Sorry, go ahead.
What camping ordinance? This is in the county, by the way. We didn't get any firearms, but if you look at some of the pictures on top of this shiny red BMW, there's a pair of what I guess used to be called brass knuckles. I'm not sure what they are now.
They're like stainless steel knuckles, yeah. Not even brass.
And then right next to a syringe, which is never good. Never good combination.
No, not really.
And then a cell phone, obviously.
I mean, I carry all of the above all the time, but, you know, just it's not at all.
You know, I think what's kind of cool also is you can see in the picture here. I'm just scrolling through the pictures now because I have nothing else to do, right?
Yeah.
And I see one, two, three, four of these batteries.
Yeah.
And they all have the names on them. Like everyone knows that they're valuable, so they put their own names on their chargers.
Like Jimmy Smith's battery.
Yeah, like you used to do with tools and stuff. You know, and you etch your little name in there so no one steals your tool and your battery. Didn't work.
I'm glad they
got
them back. That's the best part about that story. Also, you guys were involved in this Ernest Ward, former employee who embezzled, I guess, like $50,000 from all of these various school funds. Is that right?
Yeah, apparently she resigned before the school season started, I guess, the school year started. And then they wanted to do an audit, and they discovered there's some problems with their money. And we investigated and found that. So she was the bookkeeper. When individual groups would raise money, cheerleading, band, all these sorts of things, football, they would raise the money and they would give them to her as the clearinghouse for the money. So that the thought there is that when they needed it, they'd come to her and get it. The problem was when they came to her to get it, it was not there. She had decided she's going to use it on her own. So we ended up charging her with about $50,000 worth of stealing.
Wow. And I saw the North Escambia report had it at, you know, about $5,000 here and $5,000 there, volleyball, FFA, library, cheerleading, $28,000 from the cheer team. Good Lord.
Cheerleading does, it's been my experience, cheerleading does a good job of fundraising.
Yeah, they do.
They get after it. And because cheerleading is quite expensive
right?
The outfits and the training and the
travel.
The travel and all that stuff they go to, all the tournaments that they go to. So I that does not surprise me at all. It does break my heart the fact that these students were raising this money to go to a trip or to get training or to have a competition. And then it's gone because someone decided they would use it on their own.
I thought the weirdest part of this story was that when asked, she apparently didn't even know how much she'd stolen. I mean, I guess she's, you know, not accounting for it on her side of the ledger. Like, she's not keeping a running tab or something. So, which, I don't know, maybe that's evidence. Maybe that's good. It's hard to keep track.
She's not the best bookkeeper in the world.
Maybe. Maybe so. You had something really good happen on Friday night. It's actually the reason you weren't able to go to the Eggfest VIP was because you had a conflicting event. What happened Friday night?
Well, we were able to graduate our third class on our, I still call it brand new, but our new-ish Escambia County Sheriff's Office Training Academy. This is our third class. We graduated 17 brand new deputies, so it's pretty cool. We had a badge pinning ceremony. We were able to do this at Marcus Point Baptist Church. They're always kind enough to let us use their facility. And what you do is you have an individual that's important to you come and pin the badge, and we're on stage, and 17 times person came up there and pinned the deputies, and then after they put the badge on, then they raise their right hand and they take the oath of office to start their journey, or at least continue their journey as a Escambia County Sheriff's deputy and serve our community.
Now, this is the third class. How many total have you graduated? Do you know?
Well, I don't know the number. We average about 20 each class. This is 17, a little lower, because if you recall, the reason we have this class is because we want flexibility. And so at any given time when we start a class, okay, how many openings do we have?
Yeah.
Let's fill that class. So this class, I think we had, we started off with 18. We ended up graduating with 17.
Okay, so it's a pretty high matriculation rate. Because were these the ones that were over the summer when I saw your shoot house? They were the ones at the shooting range?
Yeah.
So that was the start. It was a couple of months ago. Is that
right?
Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, okay. We have two classes going on, so we're able to overlap. Again, part of the flexibility that we have here. I'll tell you this. I'll brag a little bit. Since we have three classes now, we have, you know, 24, about 60 something, some odd deputies that have been through our training academy. And right now, if we look at our grades throughout the state, they're the highest in the state. Our state exam, the state law enforcement exam, our grades are the highest in the state. I think we've only had one failure out of all of those people that have taken the test.
Do you have much of an issue with, I guess it'd be too soon to tell, people coming on board and then going somewhere else? Because I know sometimes that's a concern is, you know, you get them trained, they get through, and then, you know, I don't know if there's a, like, 2-year minimum service or something like that as well, but
Yeah, we don't have a minimum. We like to recruit locally. We're fortunate enough to have, a large population that mm-hmm. we can draw from. We also have the military influence here also. So we love to get recruits from the community, but we also love to get those that are getting out of the military and mm-hmm. staying around. So we do that, and we don't really have that much trouble with people going to other agencies. We do have people that decide, hey, this job ain't for me anymore,
sure.
I'm going to do something else. Or some of the military aspect of things, we have people get transferred, in and out. So a lot of times we'll hire a spouse as a deputy, and then whenever their spouse gets transferred out, then they obviously have to go.
Okay.
I'll be honest, we have a lot of them coming back. We have one or two of them that, a husband-wife team that may well come back here in the next month or so. So our recruiting is going very well. Our training academy is going very well. We're very proud of it. We have had other agencies come and tour our facility because they're wanting to start one on their own.
Yeah.
But man, when you see the look on their face when they raise the right hand and they give that oath, I remember years ago when I did it, just how proud I was to start this journey of service. And we really appreciate them.
By the way, I kind of pivoted immediately to the people who might leave, and I do want to give credit for, having such a high grade in the state because you're doing the training yourself, mm-hmm. you can oversee and make sure that they're being trained immediately on Escambia County laws and Escambia County Sheriff's Office procedures and policies, so you don't have to retrain them once you get them. I mean, that's all
our computers, we've talked about many times. Our programs, yeah. Yes, everything is according to our policies, which saves us a lot of time.
Absolutely.
The average probably saves us a couple of months just in the training alone.
Yesterday, you were in the Veterans Day parade downtown, which did happen in the rain, right? So
we were some of the few that braved the weather. We knew it was going to rain, and we told them we're in no matter what. Now, we were going to have a couple of our other cars in there, but we decided not to bring our other cars. But you can see on our Facebook page just how important Veterans Day is.
Yeah.
Again, because think about the rain, and you think about what our veterans are
going to
do, a lot
yes.
more than rain.
Right.
So the least we could do was get out there and walk downtown and say thank you to the people that are, that are lining the streets. The crowd obviously wasn't very big because of it was a rain, but it was also going, at times it was going sideways. So it was some pretty,
rough
I wouldn't
wind,
say
yeah.
storm, but it was, it was a pretty, pretty steady drizzle the whole time.
You mentioned about like spouses do you typically, like if one spouse is in the service and one spouse is in, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, typically the female is with you or the male is with you or a mixture, both?
I think it's probably a mixture.
Okay.
I would say the last couple I recall were female spouses that were employed by the sheriff's office.
Okay.
And then they know that going in.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And if we can get a couple years of service out of them, that's worth it for us.
And they're probably going to go be a blessing to some other community as well, and if they come back
and
here.
And a lot of times
that's a portable job, right, obviously.
Right, that they're going to come back.
So I asked Sheriff Johnson this yesterday. He said about 50% of his sheriff's deputies are former military. Is it that high in Escambia County?
Yeah, I don't think that it's that high.
Okay.
In Escambia County, we have the cadet program, so mm-hmm. we try to get them pretty early.
Yeah.
And kind of like my career itself, whenever I started, I was 19 years old, so I was pretty early to start a career. And we're looking at doing that at the sheriff's office. We're not going to keep people from joining the military because we love getting the veterans. But again, they've already gone through boot camp,
right.
A certain level of maturity, and it kind of lends itself pretty well to law enforcement. But I would say that ours is not quite 50%, but obviously we value service and we allow. And we have to allow, but we certainly allow those that are joining the reserves to serve the country and their community.
And just for people who might be curious, 21 to be deputized, but there are job opportunities and internships for people who are 18, right? Or 19?
That's correct.
18? Okay.
Yeah,
right,
our cadet program's 18 and above.
Okay.
And then to be a certified law enforcement officer, you have to
be 21.
21 at our agency.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, great information. Thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
You bet.
Always. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Bad news for you commuters this morning. 9 Mile, I had suspected might be closed. They had said it was going to be closed earlier this morning, the CSX crossing, and somebody texts me and says it is closed, and the traffic map seems to confirm that. So Airport and Burgess are open. Lots of other cross streets. The major ones, though, that you want to know about is that, Olive is closed. Ensley is closed, and now 9 Mile is closed. And by the way, just happy days. 10 Mile and West Roberts Road are scheduled to be closed early this morning. So that might already be happening. I don't see it yet on the traffic map. But if you see that with your eyes, please let us know. And by the way, this is important. This is important work that the CSX Railway is doing to make things safe. And they are doing it quickly. This is like half the time I remember from last time. And like they did airport, and airport's glass. It's great. It's not a problem like it was last time. So anyway, they're doing good work. It's just super inconvenient because yesterday that whole area, you know, in between like I-10 and Brent and Palafox and 110, that box. Oh, God. Yesterday. Oh, my God. Anyway, hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get good expert advice from somebody who's done it many, many times and knows the market and knows how the market is shifting. And, you know, I say that because, like, insurance is the one that really caught me by surprise. You know, we've bought and sold not a ton of houses, but enough. And the issue of whether you could get a home insured or how much insurance would be, or whether that six-year-old roof needs to be replaced by the seller, that's insane. That's what people are talking about right now because of the difficulties of getting homes insured, especially in Florida. So if the buyer says, you're going to have to replace that air conditioning unit or I'm not buying that home, you're like, well, is that normal? Get a good realtor who's going to know whether that's normal or not. That's the point. 175 homes sold last year, on track to do about that same amount this year. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they know what's normal and how to solve the problem. 723-9158.
Here, trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway Shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right, Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program. And when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
Did you know the Port of Pensacola is more than just a name? It's the economic engine of Northwest Florida, a strategic powerhouse fueling growth with over 30 top-tier businesses like CEMEX, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and soon, the world-renowned American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the port has been the heartbeat of our region's success, driving prosperity and opportunity. Discover the force behind our future at portofpensacola.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
How many millions of young men thought, one day, maybe me? David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, the FAA is pausing all flights to Haiti, all U.S. flights to Haiti, for 30 days now. It's up to 3 flights that were hit by gunfire. Of course, the Spirit flight, the JetBlue flight, and now American Airlines says they discovered a plane was hit
and
after it landed.
And that's all three airlines that flew there.
Listen on air at 92.